Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Titans defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons for joining us in the last segment. I like me some Jeffrey Simmons. What a big play on Monday night against Buffalo. Just totally blows up the line of scrimmage. And as you heard him describe in detail in the last segment, he watched the film. He knew what was coming on that play from Josh Allen when he started creeping back up to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And then he totally destroyed the play.
Yeah, and Vrabel sort of indicated that right after the game, too, that basically if they're in gun and then Allen comes up, they pretty much know what they're going to do. Thing is, usually it doesn't matter.
Right.
It shouldn't matter, right? He's so big and strong. I would say that just – in general, in the future, like if these teams meet in the playoffs again, I would advise Josh Allen to go right.
Yeah, don't go right at Jeffrey Simmons.
Wherever Simmons isn't. Like you said, though, Naquan Jones did a good job right next to him, too. Jacked up the guard. I like that. I like that terminology. But, that's film study and recognition. And then it's just raw, just straight. I mean, when you can take a left tackle, who is that? Left tackle Taylor Lewan, right?
Yeah, it was Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
You can take just a left, ask Chris Broussard.
Yeah, and take a left tackle and just kind of throw him at the quarterback. That's kind of nice to be able to do that. So it's interesting how.
Well, that's my thing. Like all these Buffalo Bills fans are talking about how Josh Allen slipped. I'm like, well, first off, don't slip. Secondly, I mean, yeah, he did, but go watch the play. There's an offensive lineman and Jeffrey Simmons in his lap as he's trying to sneak the ball.
Right. Yeah, I don't know that he muscles through that, even if he has footing. That's the goal line stand thing for this team has been interesting. Last year, bad defense. They had some, for not just goal line, but, you know, short yardage. They've had quite a few stops.
Yeah.
And they've had, you know, non-stops too, but they've had quite a few big stops up front. And Jeffrey Simmons, I think you saw it even after the game a little bit. You know, I think Simmons and Henry are two guys who, you know, I think the natural sort of leaders, and like whenever something happens, like the Titans put Kevin Byard, Ryan Tannehill as sort of the, you know, they're sort of like the voices of the players kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think that the emotional leaders of this team, I don't know that anyone's more important than Henry and Simmons. Those guys, one, they've grown into that. They've grown into having loud voices. I mean, Simmons has been an emotional player all along, but they've grown into being leaders. And then two, they're also great players.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And Simmons, you know, is, look, he's never going to have some, I don't think, some monster stat, 10 sack year, or something like that, or whatever. But you know, if you take a game and just watch him, take a game out and just watch 98, or watch a game back and watch 98. One, he's doubled all the time. Yeah, you still got to break through double teams, and he does. But he's doubled all the time, and there are a lot of plays that are made by other people because they have Jeffrey Simmons.
So this is year three for Jeffrey Simmons. Is he going to be a first-round draft pick for the Titans that actually receives a second contract for John Robinson? Because that has not been the norm for John Robinson.
Yeah, I think so, yes. I think he will be the first, right?
Yeah.
He'll be the first. Yeah. I think barring an injury,
sure.
Yeah, I think you absolutely have to do that. And, yeah, that's what you – look, like over a stretch of time in this league, it can't be everybody. That doesn't add up. Like,
right.
You can't – give second deals to all your first round picks doesn't add up, but you can't have none. I mean, you want to have a nice mix of, I mean, look, you want them to be good enough, all of them, to have a tough decision, and that really hasn't been the case. I mean, I guess the closest to that would be, well, two guys, Jack Conklin and Corey Davis.
Yep.
And
although if you ask Corey Davis, apparently it wasn't very close at all.
Yeah, but I mean, at least it was like, in the public space,
right.
It was, you know, it was. I mean, look at the deal he got, right? So, yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, they decided to move on, but I mean, at least it was arguable to do it. And then didn't pick up the option. With Conklin, didn't pick up the option. I get it at the time, you know, that's an awfully good player. So there were two that had a shot. I think Simmons will be the one who gets it. Gets the option picked up. Wait, I'm trying to think. Yes, that'll be this coming offseason will be correct. The option year picked up, and then, yeah, second deal.
Yeah, and to your point, like, it's also like his position. What does that money look like on the second deal? Because as you said, you know, it's one of those things where the stats, traditional stats, probably not going to be there for Jeffrey Simmons, even though, you know, I do think there's room for growth in the traditional stats column in terms of getting after the quarterback and getting some sacks. But just based on the position he plays, unless your name's Aaron Donald, you're probably not putting those numbers up. So it's always interesting to me to kind of determine what those guys are going to make and what that market looks like. I think it's pretty clear if you watch him play, Jeffrey Simmons occupies a lot of the attention of the defense when they go into the game plan on a week-by-week basis. I mean, he sees his fair share of double teams out there. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, he's not Aaron Donald. He's not like Ndamukong Suh from a few years ago.
No.
I mean, I don't know. That's a really interesting question. I mean, I think a lot of it, we'll see how this year plays out. You know, some of it is game-winning plays. I mean, it's still ultimately a league where it's like you got to make plays or you don't. Like Kevin Byard, the ball is finding Kevin Byard. And Kevin Byard is certainly, I think, playing better. We're not seeing Kevin Byard get beat and things like that. We're seeing him make plays. Now, the big play he made last game, that's Danico Autry's play.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Danico Autry gave him a layup.
Sure.
But he was there. I mean, the ball's finding him. It's making plays in this league, game-changing plays. So if Jeffrey Simmons has more of those in him this year and stays healthy and you know, helps the defense also function well, team success is part of it too. Like, what's the bottom line? What does he mean to your bottom line, even if he isn't making a play? He's gonna get a good contract, but yeah, it's where does he slot in? You ask NFL players, or you ask even personnel people around the league, and some of them think he's not too far. You know, he's not low in like the second tier. If there's a one man tier, and there probably is, in Aaron Donald, and Simmons is not like too far down the second tier.
Well, remember the piece that I think it was Jeremy Fowler from ESPN came out with, and there was somebody in the league called him like the closest thing to Aaron Donald. And I was like, ooh, no pressure.
That's lofty.
That is lofty.
That's lofty. I mean, it's just – and again, it's just
– like, mean, it's almost not even fair putting anybody in that conversation.
It's not, because Aaron Donald is – his feet – he's just so – it's incredible how effective he is, you know, with his feet and with his agility getting around. And you see that sometimes from Simmons too, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's just – it is. It's just Aaron Donald is a different deal.
He
but
is.
I don't – like, I, so I'm trying to think of – I mean, there's a lot of good interior – I mean, shoot, the Bills guy, Star L, I'm just going to keep it at that. I mean, Stephon Tuitt. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, good interior defenders. J.J. Watt has become that.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a – it's almost like a – it's like the fastball, you know – pitcher who becomes like the soft tosser like late in his career because he has to. Frank Tanana.
The knuckler.
Yeah. Well, knuckler, maybe not. But yeah. You know, all of a sudden you got to throw the Frank Tanana 63 mile an hour curveball.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good players on him, but there's no one else. I'm probably not thinking of somebody, but I can't think of anybody that I'm like that guy is definitely way better than Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
Who am I forgetting? Who am I missing?
I mean, if you're taking Aaron Donald out of the conversation, I don't think you're missing very many people.
So what does that mean? I don't know, but I don't know what it means in money. I think this year will help tell that story. But right now, I think it would have to be an injury for him to not be locked up here.
Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Vanderbilt take on Missouri at Vanderbilt Stadium on October the 30th? Well, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Vanderbilt football. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October 25th. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans defense. How much better has this defense gotten? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've upset a lot of people on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. DeForest Buckner, Chris Jones, Cam Hayward of the Steelers. Definitely better than Jeffrey Simmons, according to people on the text line.
Yeah, I when I was talking, I was like, I know I'm forgetting someone, and Buckner is the one that was in the back of my head I would agree. And DeForest Buckner is he's a heck of a player, but is he like miles beyond? I mean, I'd still put those guys in that second tier. There's a one man first tier at this position in the league. But, yeah, I think that's fair with Buckner. Who they say? Hayward and who?
And Chris Jones.
Yeah, Chris Jones is awfully good when he's healthy. So,
he's not been healthy much this year.
He's not been. He probably makes more plays. And it's pretty obvious, you know, when you talk about that Kansas City defense, how important he is. I mean, I guess another way to look at it would be like that. Like, look at – and it's not like the Chiefs have really had a great defense at any point here in their championship stretch, but they are very different with or without Chris Jones. Would that, if you took Jeffrey Simmons off this defense, what would be the effect?
Well, there'd be an effect.
There'd be an effect.
Now, would it be that dramatic? I don't know, but there'd definitely be an effect. I mean, you talk about not having to double team anyone at that point.
I mean,
I guess teams are getting close to the point where they may have to start double-teaming Harold Landry because, my goodness.
Right, and I mean, DeNico Autry, too, at times. So that was the whole idea, is all of a sudden now Autry's helping Simmons, and, of course, they move Autry around. And, Tart's been a nice player, too, this year. But, yeah, it would be much simpler for the offense if they didn't have to account for 98. They have to offensive coordinators every week, I promise you. He's one of those guys, and 58 is now too. It has to be, right? But 98 is someone they talk about every week. You have to account for him. Take that out, and it simplifies things, makes things easier. You can devote resources elsewhere.
So I think we would both agree that this defense is better than it was a year ago. Now, I think the difficult part becomes, all right, well, how much better? How much better is this Titans defense than it was a year ago? I mean, a year ago, they're giving up 52% of third downs. And, you know, one thing that got lost in the Buffalo game from last year, you know, the Titans come out and they win in dramatic fashion. But I remember the stat. Buffalo was 13 of 17 on third down in that game. And we were just like, wow, how about that? We didn't know that was going to then just continue to be the case all season long where the Titans just can't get off the field on third down. I mean, they're pretty significantly better in that area. I think they're 15th in the league right now in terms of their third down defense, which, you know, obviously it's not great, but you'll sign up for that all day long based on what we saw a year ago from the Titans. I think they're at 40%, right around 40%. So, I mean, it's one of those things where obviously that's a clear area where they've gotten better at, and that's hugely important to continue that and keep that up as they go through the rest of the year here. What other ways do you think this Titans defense is better than it was a year ago, especially now given their corner situation?
Well, I mean, I think they've been better at corner even with the injuries. Christian Fulton was a big part of that early. And, Jenkins is – I would say Jenkins is not as good as Butler was last year, but in some ways he is. He does have more speed. He's certainly better than like Jonathan Joseph. They're better. They've been better there. I think we'll see now with Hooker back. What does that mean? And that's a big hope that means something significant. I mean, I think he already made an impact in the first game. But the pass rush is a big thing to me. Harold Landry has 6.5 sacks. Last year, the leading sacker for the Titans was Harold Landry with 5.5 in a whole season. He has 6.5 now. So they are, and I think Autry is a huge part of that. I mean, the Autry signing right now has been flat out the best offseason acquisition for the Titans, Danico Autry. The Titans need Bud Dupree to start entering the conversation on that. But in the meantime, and that's the where you can have hope is that Dupree hasn't gotten it going yet, but he's back out there. He seemed to be moving well the other night. He made an impact. Now, can you get him really revved up and going? Well, you could see where with Simmons and Autry, with Landry and Dupree, that you could have something there. But that's what it is. They're affecting quarterbacks, I think, much more. And that's why, like you said, they've gone from the worst ever, 52% allowed in 2020, to right now they're right at 40%. And that's what we say going into the year, right? Just be middle of the pack.
Yeah.
I mean, in 19, so Dean Pees last year, what were they? They were on third down. Their defense was, 39%. They were 16th. So they've gone back to, like, right now to 2019 levels, which, again, is fine. They come up with big performances and big plays in big games like that defense did.
One of the things, and John Glennon wrote a piece on this yesterday at SI.com talking about the improvement of the Titans defense, and one of the things that I do think is underrated that maybe I didn't even notice because I think it gets magnified by what James Robinson did to the Titans in the running game. But if you think back to last year, I mean, it wasn't just the third down defense and the passing game and lack of pass rush that you were concerned about. They weren't a very good team defensively against the run last year either. And there were moments where they just got absolutely gashed last season. Right now, they're ninth in the league, average of 107.7 yards per game allowed on the ground. Last year, they were at 120.8 per game, which was 19th. They finished 19th in the league. So right now, top 10 in the league in terms of their rush defense.
I got 127.6 last year, but regardless.
I'm going off Glennon's article here. So take it up with John Glennon.
Glennon, are you – did Glennon go
– PFF.
PFF on for stats. Do PFF got the stats wrong too? now I got to look. Now I'm gonna nail this down. So 2020, yeah. 127.6. Glennon, we just found a fact error that you got to fix in your story, buddy. They were 24th last year, 127.6.
There you go. So it highlights the point even further that they've gotten better at rush defense.
Your point is even stronger. Well, and then what if you took the Robinson? I guess rush defense is hard to even – there's just some team – like the Bills don't care.
Yeah.
Like the Bills show it to you as a here and there. We'll try to – but they don't try to run the ball. They don't
– I don't imagine that Kansas City is going to care all that much
either.
Will
not care. Right. I mean, the best chance the Bills had for a rush offense the other night was Josh Allen.
Yeah.
The best chance the Chiefs probably have is Patrick Mahomes. So of the teams they've played, who has cared about running the ball? The Jags, and they ran it well. And that was not great. The Jets didn't try too much.
Cardinals, Seahawks,
Cardinals got them a few times, and that's the thing. It's just a nice change of pace for a lot of these offenses now.
I mean, the Colts should've.
Try to run the ball. The Colts care about running the ball.
They do, but like even in that game, they really kind of didn't.
That's probably the most impressive example of the Titans being better there that game, because that team definitely cares. Gosh, I mean, it's amazing, actually. And I know Nyheim Hines is more the pass receiving back, but Taylor, Hines, Mack looked great last time out, last week. He wants to be traded. And they still have Jordan Wilkins, too. Like trade a back. But, that's their identity very much. The AFC South is the old-school throwback division. But that was – and I think Tart has been a part of that. Evans has his moments, and he's a box linebacker. That's his forte. We're going to see as we move forward, is Xavier Williamson a guy who can push in and get snaps? But David Long's all over the place making plays. So, I think that last year it wasn't like a consistent problem because, in some weeks it just doesn't matter. The other team doesn't care. But, like, Dalvin Cook obviously just torched them last year. They had some bad weeks. Actually, Robinson had a good game against him last year, too. He's a pretty good player.
Speaking of trades, it's looking like the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson maybe could have something done by the end of this week, according to reports out of Houston. I think I saw John McClain was the first one I saw with this, that maybe the Texans and the Dolphins could have a deal done with Deshaun Watson maybe this week.
So, Dolphins Twitter, make sure you all go back to Charles Robinson and say you're sorry for, you know, telling him that you're going to, like, blow his house up or whatever was going on that week. No, I mean, look, and it's pretty obvious. The Dolphins don't believe in Tua. And maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I mean, it's still early for Tua, but it hasn't been great. And I don't think that Brian Flores believes in him at all.
Yeah.
So will the deal actually be done? I mean, to me, you have to be able to get a discount because you're doing it now, because there's uncertainty with him still.
Yeah.
What if, I mean, if that happens and all of a sudden he's on the field for the Dolphins this year, what does that mean?
Are you surprised we've not heard anything from the league on this yet?
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing?
I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like they're waiting for legal resolution, but to me,
you could be waiting on that for a long time.
Exactly. So maybe it's just everybody wait until stuff, you know, the league waits till that, and then he just plays, and then all of a sudden, like next year, he misses is out half the year or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I feel like the league should go ahead and put something down on this. Maybe with this now, some movement on this, maybe they'll feel more compelled to do it. I mean, it's been just total limbo until a move gets made.
Listen to the MLB postseason on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company. Tonight, tune in to ESPN 94.9 for Game 5 of the NLCS as the Atlanta Braves take on the LA Dodgers. Coverage begins at 6:30. 312 Pizza Company in Germantown is home to the best pizza in Nashville. Head to 312 Pizza Company to grab a bite, a beer, and to watch some October baseball. When we come back, we'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Highnote, looking ahead to the game tonight for the Predators against the Rangers. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. A big win for the Nashville Predators on Tuesday night against LA. They try to build on that tonight as they host the New York Rangers at Bridgestone Arena as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC equal housing lender. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Dan Highnote. Dan, what's going on? How are we doing?
Great. How are you guys this morning?
We are awesome. Right. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And, Dan, obviously a big win for your group the other night against L.A. What stood out to you in that game, and how do you guys try to build on that as you take on the Rangers tonight?
Well, you know, the first one's always a huge one, you know, just kind of get that monkey off your back to start the season. You know, whether it comes in your third game or your first game or your fifth game, you have to get it under your belt before the guys start to feel comfortable with, you know, with their progress. You know, we had a great camp, and guys worked their butts off, and we had great success in building, you know, towards our future. But, you know, when you don't get the wins right away, you start to question everything, right? And so when you get that first win, there's like a huge monkey that comes off your back, and you could feel that around the rink last couple of days.
So, Dan, does it already feel different this year that you're not going to be playing the same handful of teams over and over? Like, you're, oh, and here's a new team that we're only going to see once or twice. You know, like, is it already different from a preparation standpoint and just a how it feels standpoint?
Oh, yeah, completely. Along with the workload that comes with it, because the one good, like, the bad part was that we saw a bunch of upper echelon teams over and over, which was great, you know, from a building standpoint. But from a pre-scout standpoint, you know, it was easy because you had double headers and you're playing the same teams over and over. So you might tweak a thing here or there, but you know, by the fourth or fifth game, we pretty much knew all these teams inside and out. So the pre-scouts were pretty easy. Whereas now, you know, like I personally haven't seen the Kings in years, you know, a lot of guys were new last year and this year, so they haven't seen the Kings. You know, or obviously no one had seen Seattle and, you know, all the above. So So it was. It's been great, you know, because to see Kopitar, see Doughty, you know, like these young guys probably grew up watching those guys, and then now getting to play against them, I'm sure was a pretty cool experience for them. But yeah, you know, it's great too because we have so many young guys that the league doesn't know about, you know, like Janot and Tolvanen and, you know, Tomasino and Carrier, which is great because you can catch teams by surprise that way. So hopefully we can do that.
Dan, obviously, you know, Mikael Granlund was so good for you guys last year coming down the stretch, and it looks like he's picked up right where he's left off so far this year. We talk all the time on this show about his versatility, whether it's playing at center or on the wing, but how do you guys as a coaching staff kind of put into words everything that Granlund brings to the table and everything he means for your group?
Well, like you said, he's our jack of all trades or king of all trades even. You know, we can trust him to play against the other team's top line. You know, we use him first over on the penalty kill, first over on the power play. Like, there's really no scenario, you know, 5-on-6, 6-on-5. There's no scenario that he doesn't fit the bill, which is a huge asset for us, you know, from a coaching perspective when you have a guy that A, you can count on defensively, offensively, but also, you know, like, he's an 82-game player. You know, his engine never stops running, and it doesn't stop running in practice. So he drives practice. He drives the games. He's got good energy around the rink. You know, like, he just hits a lot of the boxes that you need checked from a coaching perspective. So we're lucky to have him.
You mentioned Janot. How good can Janot be?
It's hard to say. I mean, the sky's the limit for this kid. Physically, he's a freak. You know, if you ever run into him, well, don't run into him.
That's probably good advice.
If you ever see him, if you see him in the hallway or wherever, you get a kind of a glimpse of the body of work, because he's just a monster. He's like right out of the farm, and he can skate like the wind. He's got pretty good scoring touch around the net. Obviously, he's physical. He can fight. He's reliable. He'll block shots. You know, the management's done a great job with filling the stable with guys of his ilk, you know, with Trennan and Olivier and himself. And even in the minors, you got Labate and McCarron. So, you know, to me, this is kind of where the NHL is going back to, is this this two-way kind of grinder that can fight and score. And we have it in spades. So, you know, we consider ourselves lucky in that department. But for him, you know, he's another guy we can start to use in every situation because he is so reliable and he's a freak physically. So, you know, the other day the boys went out and had a little batting contest, and he hit two out of the park. You know, it's not just hockey for this guy. So, and he's a great kid. So, you know, sky's the limit.
Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Dan, obviously the top line of Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne receives a lot of attention, and all those guys from a production standpoint have been very good players throughout their career. What have you made of those three together as a line as they tried to build things for the first three games? And I guess as you look at them moving forward, how excited are you guys about what you may have there with that line?
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of fun to watch those three because their computers work at a little bit different level than a lot of the other players in the league. So, you know, to watch them kind of work together and kind of figure out, you know, their chemistry and to get used to how each other plays and where each other plays, you know, it's been kind of a fun process throughout camp and then, you know, through these early games. And they're growing. You know, that's the good part, is that there's lots of room there for growth. So, you know, as they figure it out, the other teams will have to try and keep up with them. And, you know, they play well together in practice. They got pretty good banter, you know, on the bench, and they communicate really well. So I'm excited to see where they go.
You know, a little bit surprised we were, at least on the outside here, that, you know, that Cody Glass is sent down to Milwaukee quickly here. What did you see from him in preseason, and I guess what does he need to do, you know, to get back?
I think, you know, like when you talk about computers, I think his works at a very high level, and he sees the game very, very well offensively. And, you know, when you're young, it's you know, you come in and you're raw, And that's kind of where he's at. So, you know, he's got all these gifts and all these talents, but, you know, to put them all together is kind of the hard part about being a young hockey player. And in order to do that, excuse me, you need time. You need, you know, game situations. You need lots of ice time in game situations. And, you know, for his growth and for ours as an organization, we see him, you know, down the road as a very important piece to the puzzle. So we need him to develop. And it's kind of hard to do that at the NHL level when you're only getting X amount of ice time per game. And where we have him slotted right now, you know, it just isn't, it's not going to be great for his development. And, you know, he just came off of surgery. So he's got, you know, some strength to develop there and some confidence, I think, you know, in that injury, to where you can play at full capacity, where you're not thinking about it. Because at this level, if you're thinking out there, you're a second behind. If you're a second behind, you're in a lot of trouble. So, you know, for us, we saw some great flashes. We're excited about his future and his future with us. But for now, you know, we need him to develop. And the good thing is Milwaukee is such a great template. They play, you know, almost the exact same systems. The coaches are old school, just like we are. And so we know he's in great hands, and they have a great team down there. So it's the perfect place to kind of get your game in order and come back. You know, when he comes back, he'll be fully confident and fully capable. So we look forward to it.
Dan, last thing for you here. As you look at Philip Tomasino and what he's brought to the table throughout camp and so far early in the regular season, obviously gets in there opening night. It's not been in the lineup the last couple of nights. But overall, what have you made of Tomasino and the progress that he made throughout training camp and now that you guys have gotten into the regular season here?
He's been great. You know, Tommy, again, he's a really young kid that's growing and trying to figure out the league, trying to figure out his game at this level with his teammates. And, you know, we've been really happy with him throughout camp, throughout rookie camp, development camp. You know, last year in the minors, you know, everybody there spoke very highly of him, and then we saw firsthand why this year. So, you know, he's one of those guys that doesn't need a lot of time and space to score, and you need that. You know, every team needs that, and we need it as well, or especially. So we're really excited about his development here at the NHL level, and you want to put him in an opportunity where he can succeed. So, you know, you don't want to necessarily throw him to the wolves and then have to rebuild his confidence and rebuild, you know, his structure. So, you know, we're choosy right now with where we play him and when we play him because of all those factors. But he's a guy that you know, that we're really excited about because he can do a lot of things with the puck that a lot of, you know, players can't. And that's kind of the new age, you know, high-end skill player. And he's got some really good moxie. He's not afraid, you know, to get in the battle. He's a pretty sturdy kid, so we don't worry about him in that department, you know. And he's proven that he'll block shots, he'll take hits to make plays, he'll give hits, and he'll go to the tough areas to score. So there's lots of he's got a really high ceiling. We're excited about him as well.
Pres assistant coach Dan Hynote has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. Dan, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. Dan Hynote, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll come back, continue the conversation on the Predators, including Preds Pick to Click. Coming up next, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We caller number one to guess the goal score for the Predators in their game tonight against the Rangers. We'll see what happens. It's been a challenging start to Preds Pick to Click, but we'll see if we can't get one figured out tonight. 615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week. Time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Nashville Predators in action tonight at home at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the New York Rangers. New York 2-1-1 coming into this game. The Nashville Predators 1-2-0. They get their first win the other night against the LA Kings. The Preds Pick to Click standings thus far: Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad with one apiece. Michelle Konezvic and the listeners with zero very early into the season. We've only had two additions so far. A Preds picked Glick. This will be number three.
Take a picture.
So we'll see if people can get on the board. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ty from Hohenwald, Tennessee. Ty, what's going on? How are we doing?
What's up, boys?
Appreciate you taking time to call in, my friend. So, Ty, the Preds and Rangers tonight. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Oh, I'm going chalk. It's time. It's going to be Prince Philip.
Very nice. Philip Forsberg, the selection by Ty from Hohenwald. Ty, we appreciate you calling in, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all be safe.
Absolutely. You as well. Thanks, Philip Forsberg, the selection by Ty. I think he's been okay to begin the season. Had the penalty shot the other night. Opportunities. It's time for him to start putting the puck in the back of the net. So Forsberg, the selection by Ty. Joe Rex wrote, you're up first in the rotation today among us three. Forsberg off the board. Who is your pick to click?
I'm gonna take a page out of your book. I'm
okay.
Gonna go with Ellie Tolvanen.
Okay.
Ellie Tolvanen on the power play tonight.
So Ellie Tolvanen on the power play for Joe Rexroad. So Forsberg and Tolvanen are off the board. I will go next. Give me Mikael Granlund. I'll take Granlund to score tonight. I was deciding between Granlund and Matt Duchene, but I'm going Granlund. Michelle Knezvik, the final pick today in the competition.
So you're trying to mess her up by saying now he's like set you up. You got to take Duchene, or you have to not take Duchene.
Well, here's the thing. I was deciding between Duchene and Johansson because I feel like Johansson's going to be my Randall Leal this season.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt Duchene scored the other night.
He did. Friend of the show.
I'm going to go with Ryan Johansson again. And maybe if I just pick the same player then. I'll get some points on
that. That's actually not a bad strategy. Just go to the same person every time.
I'm also going to be in attendance, so I'm excited.
There you go.
Nice. Well, if Kelly Yarncroke were here, that'd be a clear strategy. So if Matt Duchene scores tonight, then he's going to probably insist that we never pick him because that'll be two games in a row he doesn't get picked at all and scores.
Yeah. Look, this is, with NSC pick to click, you can a lot of times just go chalk because those are your major goal threats.
I mean, how many names have been
not many.
Like five?
I feel like we have
maybe
a five-person rotation.
Yeah, not many. Right. So, I mean, but you also know that those are your goal scorers as you head into the game. Like,
right.
Yakov Trenin could be the first goal scorer tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't surprise anybody.
It's a much larger pool of possibilities.
Yeah. So that's why the first pick also doesn't matter all that much either.
As much. Like when Forsberg is rolling, then that's – or if some – even last year, Tolvanen had his stretch where he was just red hot. So if someone gets hot, then it becomes a little bit more significant to get the one. But
I had two all of last year. I'm already at one.
Halfway there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more games this year.
There's a lot more games this year.
You might get like 10 or something.
Yeah, I could be rolling this year. Yeah. Granlund scores tonight, I will have matched the season total from last year. Four games in. How's that make you feel?
I mean, I feel good for you because I know it was a very tough year for you.
It was. Every time we do this competition, Wayne on Twitter still gives it to me about how bad I was at this last year.
You're on the come up, though.
Yeah. This is my sport. I should be good at
it. You're like the Titans defense this year.
Yeah. Nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
Look, it's a big game for them tonight. It's early in the season. You get your first win, as Dan Hynote said in the last segment. Getting that first one out of the way, I do think is important, and they get it out of the way the other night against the LA Kings. You got a Rangers team coming in tonight that's very young, but also very fast, and I think very talented as well. I mean, they just signed Zibanejad to a new contract. He's already got 5 points in four games. Chris Kreider got 3 goals in 4 games. I mean, you've got obviously Panarin that plays for the Rangers as well. I mean, if you don't watch it, New York can put up some points, put up some goals on the board. I don't know why I just said points. Put up some goals on the board tonight before you turn your head.
So get some runs.
It's a big challenge, yeah. Really going to drive in some runs tonight on the ice. What's wrong with me?
All the sports are all melding together right now.
That's the problem with October. Everything happens at once.
Yeah. Great sports month.
Rangers going to drive it to the hole tonight. Nice
and
layup.
They also have Ryan Reeves, by
nice
the way.
Nice layup, so, Robbie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just sitting, we heard Dan Hynote talking in the last segment about how, Tanner Jeannot is big and can fight and all these things, which he is. He can. I really hope no one elects to voluntarily fight Ryan Reeves tonight. That'd be great stuff if they would not do that.
That'd be quite a Jeannot Reeves or a Trenin Reeves.
Yeah.
Could that be good? Could that be competitive?
I don't know, man. Ryan Reeves, he's a tough customer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I've not seen Tanner Janot fight enough to really know. Like, honestly, Yakov Trenin. Dude could throw down. Well,
he might actually be the guy.
Yeah.
What he did to
Chara.
Yeah, Chara a couple years ago was
pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. But Janot is intriguing. Intriguing player.
Yeah.
Just that. I mean, the way people bounce off him at times, just his reckless abandon, the way he plays. But then, you know, he'll come in and you're like, wait a minute. You know, he can move. He can finish a little bit.
The photo of Drew Doughty from Tuesday night, like the still shot photo of just getting crushed by Tanner Janot, it's pretty awesome.
Just like,
and I'm a big Drew Doughty fan. Love that guy because he is one of the few players in the NHL that will tell you exactly what he thinks every single time. But, yeah, that was a tough one for Drew Doughty the other night. He figured out who Tanner Janot was pretty quick.
Look of terror almost. Like, what have I gotten myself into?
Paul on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If the Preds didn't beat the Kings, I was going to suggest we send Robbie back to Florida to get some notches in the win column. Good for you is I'm going to Florida tomorrow, so.
Why am I not? I don't get it.
I don't know either, but anytime you're sending me back to Florida.
Maybe when you came back from Disney, you won some pick-to-clicks.
Maybe.
Maybe. We could go with that.
Okay. But you are going to Florida for real.
I am.
There you go.
Joe's actually staying.
Congratulations to the Preds this
weekend. I know. I'm actually going to be in town this weekend. Amazing.
What's that like?
I don't know. I'll let you know. Of course, Katie's leaving again. So.
Yeah. You going to check out some Vanderbilt Mississippi State action this weekend?
I will be there, yes.
We didn't get to that with Jeffrey Simmons. I wonder if he'll be there.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. What do they do on Saturdays before a Sunday game?
They do stuff. They have meetings and stuff like that, but I would think that maybe Vrabel would be nice and let him go.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, Vrabel already talked about, like, Thanksgiving weekend when they're up playing the Patriots, he's going to go get to see Tyler play for BC. So, yeah, maybe Jeffrey Simmons with a little emotional support on the sideline for the Bulldogs.
That's right.
It could be an interesting game.
Could be. 20.5-point favorites.
Big line. I mean, we were right on the South Carolina, you know. Big
I was
line.
Wrong.
Well, I thought we were going to be pretty
that
wrong.
Was, that was nice for a change. Started. That was nice for a change.
Yes.
I feel like this is a big line, too.
I was in Florida. I know what Paul's talking about now. I was in Florida. I go to Florida a lot. I was in Florida in the playoffs, and they won both games.
Oh, that's right. Didn't we do the show when we were both in different parts of Florida?
Correct.
Yes.
We did. Technology's great.
Yeah.
And now Paul's my mother reminded me that on my personal text line. Now Paul's reminded me that on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Sorry, Paul. And they were winning then. This is when they won the game.
Yeah, they won both games.
Oh, it's the home games. Right.
And then I came back, and they didn't win a single other game in the playoffs.
That's right. So they won here in Nashville, and we were doing the show in different spots in Florida.
That is correct.
So, okay, that may be the formula.
Maybe the life lesson.
Yeah, I guess so. Huh.
Hey. Look, this is a situation where they've played relatively well so far, offensively in terms of possession, zone time, all these numbers that you look at. I still, you know, that only does you so much good if you can't finish. And Vingan talked about it a little bit with us yesterday on the show. They're not playing bad. They're not finishing all that much. And, you know, I think they can go through stretches this year where that changes. But just based on the roster they have, I don't know that they're ever going to be a team that just finishes consistently. Like, I just don't know that they have those players on their roster. So I agree with Adam. Like, in order for the Predators to win consistently, you're basically going to have to play how you played the other night, and that is grind it out, score and capitalize on offensive chances when you can, and really just shut things down defensively and win 2-1-3-2. Like, that's the formula for the Predators.
I mean, that's not a surprise, right? No. It's not a big surprise. But, yeah, they need some individuals to get on some runs. Yeah, they need Duchesne. They need Forsberg, but they also need Duchesne, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Granlund has been probably the best player on the team, I'd say, right? I mean,
I would say so. He's been very good.
You know, you need Tolvanen to get hot and things like that. I did, talking to Dan Hynote, I mean, I think what he said about both of those players makes sense, the young players with Cody Glass. I still think, man, it's awfully fast. Like, was it just the plan to have him give him a look and then see you and then –
Well, the thing is, like with Tomasino, I agree with everything he said about Tomasino. Like, he is fast. He does have really good playmaking ability. And he is, you know, he's a sturdier guy. Like, he's not big, but you don't worry about him going out there and just getting crushed in the corner. So, if all those things are true, why is he not playing? That would be my question.
He's got to be back in there tonight, right?
I would think so. Also, I mean, if he's not in there tonight, you've healthy scratched him for three games. Like, at that point, just send him down to Milwaukee. Let him play.
Right. Also tonight, Lafreniere will be in the building. He's got a goal already.
Yeah. You just wanted to say that name.
Lafreniere. It's just a great name.
Yes, it is. When we come back, we'll be joined. Speaking of great, we'll be joined by the great Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.